love us and how you take care of us. You've given each one of us the breath of life today, Father, and we just take it for granted a lot of times there, Lord, that you let us to live once just another day here on this earth, and that we can learn about you and that we can serve you and that we can do the things for you, Lord, that so many times that we just mess up and don't do it for you. And we ask for forgiveness for that. But, Lord, we just ask that you would just teach us here today. Father, I need you. I need your help. I need you to have the words to come out of my mouth, Lord, that it's your spirit that takes full control, and that your spirit will just teach us, that he will enlighten us, and he will help us to learn just some of the things here now, Lord, that we're learning about families. And so we just hold that before you and ask you would just do that for us. We ask that with even the service to follow, that your spirit would just take full control on what you laid on the pastor's heart, Lord, that we could just apply it to our lives, and that we can just grow, and that we can serve you more, and that we can just be more like you. And we'll thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we went over everything for the men now. We're starting with the women here. And we're talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. Let me read this to you first here. Can't make my mind up here what I want to read. I'm going to read this to you. Okay. Motherhood is a choice you make every day to put someone else's happiness and well-being ahead of your own, to teach the hard lessons, to do the right thing, even when you're not sure what the right thing is, and to forgive yourself over and over again for everything wrong. So motherhood is something. It's something that I feel is something precious. It's something that a lot of us have gone through it. Some of you are just starting to go through it. You're finding out, you're learning just what motherhood's like. And men, you're finding out just what your wives do and just some of the things that you need to help out also. And we've already talked about some of that stuff. So the wife here that we're talking about today, the Proverbs 31. If you want to go to Proverbs 31, that's where we're going to be. We started out here just to go back just a little bit. Some of the things that you to put some heaven in your home, and heaven, I'm talking about is the great happiness in your home here, and an adoring heart is one of the things. Ephesians 5:33, do you adore your husband? Next thing here was a submissive spirit that we went over. Ephesians 5:22. Ladies, I know it's a tough situation. You're a human being, but God's made it that you are to be submissive. And, you know, you need to, you're a helpmeet to your husband, but submissiveness is something I think that's very, very, very important that he has. There's a lot of things in the Bible about that, but a submissive spirit is something that you need to be. You can always tell in a family if there's not a submissive spirit there. There's chaos all the time. You know, there's fighting amongst yourselves, and, you know, there's arguments and things, hot-headedness and all that kind of stuff, you know, I think the same thing applies for a man too. You know, you need to be a little bit of submissive. You know, sometimes your wife has a hard day, you know, and when you come home, you know, don't expect this and expect that all the time. You know, you just be submissive yourself a little bit for it. But that's enough for that. And the last thing here that we talked about was a holy life, and that's 1 Peter 3:1-6. If your husband is lost, you can win him by just living a holy life before him. So you can. But that's the basis of that. Then we started off with the qualities here now of a Proverbs 31 woman. And I have stuff here written down for you. We went through two of them, but I'll just recap them here just a little bit. The qualities, Proverbs 31:10, get the glasses on. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. She's virtuous. She's capable. She's pure. She's able to do these things. Virtuous means morally good, acting in conformity and to the moral law and practices of the moral duties. And then capable, she's possessing the mental powers, intelligent, able to understand and receive the things that she needs to, you know, and she's able to take care. She's kind of like an instructor and a judge and stuff like that, especially at home with her children and things like that. And then pure, she's free from moral defilement, without spot, and it's not tarnished. She's incorruptible, holy, real, true. So this is what I believe that he's talking about here. And then verse 11 there that we had gone over, the heart of her husband doth safely trust her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She's trustworthy, responsible. Her husband knows she will do a good job for him. And she does. See, that's the helpmeet. That's the helpmeet part of the woman, you know. She's trustworthy. She does a good job for her husband. She knows her husband. She knows some of the things. She knows the things about her husband and things like that. I mean, you younger ones are point picking it out too, but you older ones, do you think that your wife knows about you, men? Do you think that she knows what you like to eat, what you don't like to eat? Does she know? Does she think? Now, I know that sometimes there's some of you guys in here that, and my wife has to do the same thing now and again, but she has to dress you. You don't put the right matching colors together and things like that there, so she has to dress. Don't you think she knows you? You see? I know, men, we went through the same thing with you. You know her. You know some of the things he does. But, you know, ladies knows she. They know about you, men. You know, they know about us. They know where to stop when they know that the boiling point's coming in you. They should know anyhow. Okay, now it's time. I best not push this issue anymore, or else. You know, so they know you. You know, and she does a good job for you. You know, that's what he's talking. That's what I believe that he's talking about here. I should have went back here over this here king before I go through any more. This King Lemuel that's here, they don't know too much about him. I was telling you about that. But his mother is the one that taught him these things, these principles, and she had to be a wise woman to teach him these principles that's here in Proverbs 31. He wasn't from the kingdom of Israel or anything like that, and so. But anyhow, they think he was from him, and this Agar in chapter 30 was ones that was from maybe Arabia, someplace in that vicinity. But anyhow, his mother had taught him these different aspects of life here for him that he could learn, you know. And like I say, I think she was a wise woman in teaching him these things. So anyhow, this is just some of the things here that he's taught, and that's just what we're going to go. That's what we're going over here. Now the next thing here that we have, verse 13. Let's see, verse 12, I guess. Verse 12. Yes, verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. Now, if you've got questions or comments, stop me. You know, I'll ask it now and again, but sometimes when I get into some of this stuff, I keep going and keep rattling on. But anyhow, Proverbs 12. The 12. She will do him good and not evil in her days. She does her husband good. She adds to his success. She doesn't criticize him. Ladies, are you criticizing your husband? Do you do that? Let me go back here to, if you want to, you can go back here to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verses 18 to 21. Now, here's a lady, you know the account here. This is David coming to Nabal. He wants something to, he needs food for his people that's with him, his soldiers. I think there's a few hundred men with him right at this present time. And he comes. And evidently, I think back in that day, the way I can understand some of this stuff, you know, it was neighborly for you to feed people that came along. You know, they asked, or, you know, you just, that was just something that you did back then. And here's David, and especially David here, he's on the move. He's still running from Saul. And he comes to this point here where his men are famished and they need something to eat. And he knows this Nabal here as he's coming into this part of the country here now where he's at. And Samuel has died at this particular time. And now David, he's still on the run. And Nabal here, he comes to ask him about some food for him. And Nabal, he says there in verse 10, and Nabal answered David's servants, because David sent some servants, told him to ask him about, you know, giving him some food. He says, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse?" Now, he didn't understand evidently, or he was just being arrogant that he didn't want to know, you know, that this here is going to be the next king. You know, here's the next king, and you're talking to him like this here. Well, when his servants come back to David, this stirs David up, and he's going to get on the move here directly, and he's going in, and he's going to put it to Nabal. Just let's put it blank to you. Nabal's dead, you might as well say, because he didn't want to help him out. But anyhow, here you have a wife that, you know, she stands behind her man, and here's what she does. Verse 18, one of the servants that came to Nabal's wife here, or Abigail, and he told her, you know, what David wanted and stuff, and, you know, she knows, she realizes who David is and what's going on. But in verse 18 here it says, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go before me, behold, I come after you, but she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the convert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain I have kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed, and all that pertaineth unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So David was going, like I said, he was going after Nabal, because David didn't do anything there against him or anything like that there. He protected him and stuff. And so Abigail here, she decides that she's going to help her husband out, because she knows what's coming. I'm sure she does. And she's standing behind her husband. She's just adding to him. She's a helpmeet to him. She's just helping him out here, as we can see. Let me see, verse 26 and 27. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, seeing that the Lord hath withholding thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek the evil of my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thy handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. So he tells her, because that she did this, that he wasn't going to touch him. But it didn't matter anyhow. 10 days later, the Lord takes care of it. Nabal has this big party, you know, and he's drunk, and his wife comes back, and she doesn't say nothing to him about this until the next morning, when, as the Bible says here, that the wine is from him. She tells him about this, and his heart gets cold. I mean, it's frozen, it says. And that he himself then, in 10 days' time, the Lord smote him because of it. And David seen the qualities in this woman, and he took her then as a wife, because she stood behind her man, and she did the right things for him. And if it wouldn't have been for that, you know, he and everything that he had would have just been gone, because David, he was coming. He was going to avenge this evil that he was bringing upon him for, you know, and he tried to do him good for all them kind of things. So this is one thing that, like I say here, that a Proverbs woman does here, and that Lemuel here, the King Lemuel, he's being taught by his mother. Says she does her husband good, she adds to his success, and doesn't criticize him. See, she could have went to him and hollered and screamed around and said, don't you know who this is? This is King David. You better take care of him or else. But she didn't do that. She didn't go to him and that, but she just took it upon herself and did these things and didn't tell him about it. So we see here, you know, a quality that she had. Questions or comments on that? Okay, the next one here that we have. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can work it out, you know. You can take her ideas and your ideas and come up. You know, a lot of times, men, if you take your ideas and her ideas and put them together, you can come up with something better. I'm telling you. I've just experienced this past week. So, you know, you can do that. You know, I have ideas, and she has ideas. Now, I'm trying to please my wife to help her out, you know, and some of the things that we're doing around the house there and stuff. And she gave me some ideas, and I thought, okay. So then we go back and forth and stuff, and we come up with something better, you know. And I like it, and she likes it. And, man, it's good when there's harmony. There's no doubt about that. So, you know, that's just some of them things that you need to do, you know. You need harmony. But you do need her ideas. Don't just say, you know, just because that the Bible says, you know, that she's the weaker one, don't just say that, you know, oh, it's my idea, or that's it, forget it, you know. Share the ideas. Share your ideas, you know, when you do kind of things like that. Anything else? That's good. Oh, yes. Oh, my, yes. Oh, yes. Did that answer your question? Did that answer your question? Some of this stuff, we'll just turn it over to the pastor and let him handle it. So, all right. So that's that one. Okay, 13 here. I think that's the next one here. It says, she seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. My wife's not in here. I was gonna change that word to she seeketh wood. I was gonna say that she had to go out and cut all my wood and stuff for me, you know. But she's not in here, so it's all right. So it says here, she seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She isn't lazy, but works willingly with her hands. And you're gonna see a lot of these verses. That's what this. I mean. The woman here that she's explaining to him, his mother is explaining to him, she's a worker. You know, she's not afraid to work. She's a worker. You're going to see that the whole way through here, and that's just part of it. You know, that's part of it of a marriage and everything else. She's the helpmeet. She's to help you. She's to work. She's not to lay in bed all the time. And you know, but if she's sick, yeah, let her lay in bed, man. Don't get on her case about anything. Help out. You know, but when she's not and she's out there doing stuff and just what you're just talking there about criticizing, man, don't criticize her for the stuff that she does either. You know, watch yourself, you know, on your criticism. You know, you're to help her. She's to help you. She's your helpmeet, but you're to help her out too. So like I say here, here you see she's not lazy, but works willingly with her hands. She does these kind of things. Pastor, go to Genesis 18, 6 to 8. And Mrs. Cardner, would you go to Ruth 2, and it'll be 2, 3, and 23. And Corby, go to Acts 9, 39, and 40. Oh, I do got some more here. Natalie, 1 Timothy 5, 10, and 14. And I'll go to that last one there. The first one there, Genesis 18, 6 to 8. Now, listen to this. What Abraham tells Sarah.
And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine flour, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched the calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it, and he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat.
The three angels come to Abraham. Right away, he goes to Sarah. You know, he wants to feed him. He goes to her. He tells her what she should do. She didn't bark about it. She didn't make haste or anything. She did it. Okay. And then he had told his servant to do some of the other stuff. But she made a meal for them. She didn't hesitate. It was something like that. There. It wasn't a prepared meal. It wasn't something that could be thought out. It was just, boom, it had to be done, you know. And guess what? She did it. There was no questions about it. She did it, you know. And she wasn't lazy. She was willing to do it. She was willing to do this for her husband, you know, because of what happened and took place. Ruth 2, 3 and 23.
Go, my daughter, went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her half was too white on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law.
Mrs. Carter, you just went through Ruth with the ladies, am I not right? What did you think about her? Was she lazy? Was she a bum or anything like that?
She was a very hard
worker. Exactly.
And barley harvest was the first harvest, and that probably lasted I think I read 2 to 3 weeks, and then after that was wheat harvest. And harvesting was
hard. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. So there you see, there was a hard worker. Ruth was a hard worker. I don't know what you think about her, but she was a hard worker. And she was taking care of her mother-in-law. She was taking care of herself and her mother-in-law, too, at that time. Because her mother-in-law had given up, I think, for a while, because she lost her husband and she lost her sons. And, because when she came back, she even told the people, don't call me by my name, call me another name, because of what happened and stuff. So Ruth was taking care, and she was a hard worker. That's what I'm trying to point out there, that she was a hard worker. Acts 9, 39 and 40.
Then Peter rose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up.
This lady, Dorcas or Tabitha, her name was Tabitha, but and it was also Dorcas too, you know that. But anyhow, she was somebody that was admired by a lot of people for the stuff that she made with her hands. It must have been beautiful stuff, according if you just read some of the things there about it, the tapestry and all that she made. She was a hard worker, and the people were mourning there because she died. But Peter brought her back to life again, so that the people could enjoy her just some more. But there was a hard worker. She was a hard worker. 1 Timothy 5, 10 and 14.
Well reported for good work, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. I will therefore that the young children, that the younger woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully.
Mouthful, huh? There you see a lady that's a hard worker. Now, let me ask you a question. It said that she would wash the saints' feet. How many of you women would wash somebody else's feet? You think about it.
Huh?
Oh yeah, they do, but that some of that stuff's a little touchy with some women, that they wouldn't touch somebody else's feet. They would touch their. How about you, ladies? Would you wash your own husband's feet? Huh? You think about that one. I won't go on any further there. But anyhow, so what I'm just trying to point out here is that she's not lazy. And the last one here was Titus 2:5. It says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So, I think here's what she was talking about here as she was explaining this here to him. She's not lazy. It's a Proverbs 31 woman here. She's not lazy. She's not afraid to work. She does her job. She does it willingly with her hands, that's the whole thing. So she's, like I say, she's a good worker. Questions or comments? All right. Before I keep going here, this thing here is going to get. Okay, the next one here. Proverbs 14, or 31:14. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She plans her meals and shops wisely for food values. Man, how many of your women do you feel goes out here and tries to get their best values when they shop? Huh? What do you think? Right. There's a lot of them that they go out here and get coupons, you know. It's surprising what them coupons and things, you know, do help out. There's some, I know that Amy used to, I know she still does. I'm just talking about in my family and Heather. There's times when they come home where they hardly spent any money for food because they had coupons, all kinds of coupons. It's amazing what some of that stuff does, you know, how it saves you money. Now, that's a wise planner, I think. That's somebody that's planning wise. They're discreet. They're using your money wisely. You know, they're trying to help out. And then some of you grow your own crops. You grow your own food in the gardens. And she's out there working in the garden, and things like that. There, you know, it's wise. It's just something that's wise. You know, planning her meals. They a lot of times they plan her meals. And men, you need to just take over that job and responsibility. I sit back and watch. You know, my wife, there's times where she says, I just don't know what to make. I'm sure they all say that. But men, you need to take that job and responsibility over just for 1 week and see how you do with the cooking. See how you do with planning the meals. What am I going to have next? You know, and things like that there. What's the matter there? We're getting some comments here. At least you didn't get no elbows yet, anyhow. So.
Don't. We got plenty of hash browns and hamburgers.
Why is it? Well, there's a thing that always wonders me. Why is it that they come to you and always say, "Hey, how about you making the hamburgers and hot dogs?" You know, or when you're grilling. But they tell the men to do that, you know. I that's what I don't understand. Can't we cook anything else besides hamburgers and hot dogs?
No.
Not? I can. I've been playing around a little bit, you know. I've been playing around, messing around a little bit. Ask the boys. Hey, we had some good meals down there, didn't we? Ask Chad there. We'd cook at night down there just to save ourselves from going out to eat. You get so sick and tired of going out eating. I said, let's take a grill down there and we'll start grilling. Man, oh man, you can slam, you can put some crazy stuff together. You know, though, when my wife puts some crazy stuff together, I'm about half scared to eat it. But I put it together, man, we can eat her and there's no problem whatsoever. And you just take potatoes and cut them up, onions, peppers, and sausage, and just mix it all together, you know, and then just grill it up. Ooh, baby, that's good, I'm telling you. But anyhow, she's a wise player. She cooks and stuff, you know, and it's just something that she does. Let's see here. That's a 14, yeah. Okay, I only have one verse there. I'll go back here to that. But, and that's here in Proverbs, which we're going to be going over, Proverbs 24 here. She makes fine linen and selleth it and delivereth the girls unto the merchants. That's something else there that we'll be talking about. So she's a good planner, you know, and she's wise with the food and things like that. All right, the next one here, 15. It says, she rises up while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and portions to her maids. She gets up early and organizes her day. She doesn't say, I need my sleep. Instead, she says, I need to work hard to be a godly wife and mother. She feeds her family. Now, I know a lot of you ladies do that. You're like that, you know. There's some, though. Can you imagine there's some out here that all they want to do is just lay around in bed, don't want to do nothing? Be thankful what you have, men. You know, be thankful for them, because they do get up early. They do work late, you know, and they do have you know, it's tough situations for them. I mean, we're going to see here in a bit there just about, yeah, there you go. Whatever we have to do, they do have to get up, you know, and figure out these things. If they want to, which I'm going to be getting into here in a little bit, if they want to do their Bible reading and things like that, there, They're going to have to do it, you know. It's just something that they do, getting up early and or staying up late, you know, doing dishes. I don't know why my wife has to do the dishes every time I go to bed at night. And then she's out there bunging and come bang and clanging and carrying. And I don't say nothing, but I think, why does she got to wait till that time, you know, to do them? But anyhow, she does, you know. So at least they get done. She gets her stuff all cleaned up and stuff there. So, you know, it's just some of them things that she does. Let's see. I stopped off with you. Van, go to Joshua 3:1. Now, Bunny, would you go to Psalm 119, 147, and 148? And I'll do this other one here, Mark 135. Joshua 3:1 when you get there. Just pointing out getting up early in the morning, but not only Joshua did, the children of Israel. So everybody did. They got up early in the morning to get there where they were going. You know, getting up early in the morning, you know, not laying in and taking it easy and having a good time or this and that, you know, just being lazy and things like that. Psalm 119, 147 and 148. See, the meditating of the Word, that is so important, ladies. I know it's a tough thing for you, but it's so important. If you can get up early in the morning or late at night, you know, do your Word, do the Word, read the Word. It's important. It's important for everybody. But, you know, I know that with the schedule that some of you have, it's a tough situation. But you need to get in the Word to meditate in it. Whether it, like I said, getting up early or staying up late at night, you know, get in the Word. And there's some more here about that. But, you know, make sure that you can get in the Word of God. That's what helps you get through the day. You know, it's nice to do it if you can early in the morning. I mean, that's what I do. I get up early just to read the Word, you know, and have my devotions, have my breakfast and all that stuff before I take off to work. But I know some people can't do that, and you just have to work it into your schedule to get into the Word of God. Okay, and Mark 1:35 says, and in the morning, rise up with a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. Even Jesus got up early in the morning. That was him right there. He got up early in the morning he went to a solitary place, a quiet place. I know some of you, with all the children that you have, that's a tough situation. And you know, that's when you can have your time alone, finding a solitary place before the kids get up or that, to have, you know, your prayer and your reading of your Word, you know, for that. And this is what I believe here that he's talking about. Questions or comments on that one? Yes. Mm-hmm. She's one of the ones that we're going to be talking about when we get into talking with the children. I mean, they had a tremendous family. Some of you think your families are big now. Your families aren't big. Theirs was big. I think that they had like 14 or 15 kids, if not more. So, you know, that's a lot of children. And they had those children trained. When the dad wasn't around that much to help out, but mother trained those children. But she had the other kids, the older kids, also help train them children, you know, to help raise the children. So everybody was trained to take care of someone. That was an extraordinary family, you know, to have that many kids and then to have them trained like that. That was just something else. But we'll get into that later on when we get into the children. So, okay, anything else? All right. The next one here is 16. It says, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She has a good business head, and she is careful and wise, wise with the budget. What do you think? Can you trust your wife to go out here and buy you something, men? Say you need a vehicle. Can she go out here and buy you a vehicle? What do you think, Corb? You're sitting there. I mean, she can put a radio in it, I know that, but he made his wife put a radio in his van. I can't. She helped. I'll put it that way. She helped do that. My wife was really I don't know how she saw that. She must have came down there or something, that she saw you doing that or something, helping out with that. But she was really, well, he made her do that. I said, so? What's the matter with that? And she says now she didn't do it. So.
Changing the tires,
though. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, I tell you what, I do know some men that will, their wives do not even know how to put gas in their own vehicle. Now, that, you know, you're not training. You're not helping your wife out by doing that. You know, she needs to know at least how to put gas in it. I know there's things that she just can't do on a vehicle, you know, but I mean, there's some things you can show them if they want to learn. But, you know, putting gas in a vehicle, that's something that you just got to show her if she doesn't know how to do it. If something happens to you, what's she going to do? Yeah, she can drive, but how does she put gas in a vehicle? They don't come out here. There's only certain places anymore that come out and pump your gas for you. You got most of it's put it in yourself. So train your wife. Help your wife out to do something like that there. But here we have somebody that has a good that has a good business head on them, and they're wise with the budget itself. You know, if you have a budget set up, you know, stick by it. You know, make that your life thing. You know, go by it. And sometimes it's tough. There's sometimes it's a situation. The church here has a budget. You know. Yeah, it's down on paper, but you still have to, you know, you have to watch, you know, just what you do. You have to watch what you buy, you know, and you know, that's something that the ladies have to do, you know, is watch the budget, you know. There's some ladies that just like to go out here and they like to spend. I mean, there's guys that I work with that live from paycheck to paycheck because they don't have no control over their wife, and they'll tell you, you know. My wife goes out here and she just spends. I have to get if I can get overtime or whatever, because she spends the money. It's not wise. That's not wise at all, you know. And here you have one that is that way. Let's see. Where am I at here? 16. Yeah. Let's see. Bunny, would you go to Joshua 15:18? I did get you, Van, didn't I? Yeah. Did I get you too? Okay. I'm sorry, Danny. Go to Joshua 15:18. And Chad, would you go to Matthew 13:44? Go ahead.
And it came to pass as she came unto him that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass and Caleb.
Caleb's daughter came to him and said, you know, I want an inheritance. I want this field. And if you read on there, she wanted a field that had springs and stuff in it too. She was being wise because she, you know, I think she was thinking that, you know, if I have any kind of animals or anything like that there, I have water to water them and things like that. She was being wise about this. She was asking her father for this. For inheritance, because a lot of the men, you know, the firstborn that got land that was given to them. But I think Caleb didn't have no boys, and so his oldest daughter, she comes to him and she asks him this, and he gives it to her. He gets this inheritance. She was wise. She was, you know, to get what she was trying to get there, and that's what I'm just trying to bring up here. That, you know, this lady here, they have a good business head on them. Okay, the next thing here, let me see, Matthew 13:44.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field.
So, see, being wise about, you know, things that you buy and things like that there. And that's what this lady here has. She's telling Lemuel, you know, she has a good business head on her. I let my wife take care of my money situations. I don't have time to be messing with checkbooks and stuff. Every time I touch a checkbook, she's mad at me anyhow. So I just let her take care of it. I stay out of it. I don't touch it. Period. If she's, I trust her. She's very wise. She knows what she's doing. So why should I do it? I have other things to do. I don't have to mess with it. And she knows how to you know, make sure that's right. And she drives me crazy sometimes when she's trying to figure out the checkbook and she's one penny off. A penny. That wouldn't bother me one bit, but that bothers her. It has to be exactly right. So let her do it. That's fine with me, you know. But, you know, they're wise, you know. And then if you have your wife do that, you know, let her do it. She's wise, you know. Let her do those kind of things. She has a good business head on her, you know. And they're wise with a budget. Okay, questions or comments on that one? Go ahead, Pastor.
There's some things in this chapter, in chapter 31 here, Proverbs, that fly in the face of the attitude that many people have. Look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax. Verse 14. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. In verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. I mean, this woman's got some liberty to make some decisions, some important decisions, apart from her husband, that is still a part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
There's independence, maybe isn't the proper term to use here, but just that freedom to be able to make these choices and so forth. It's not like you're completely under his thumb for all the decisions that are being made.
Yeah. No, thanks for bringing that up. I never give that a thought. Liberty, you said the right word there. She has the liberty to do it. There's men that won't let their wives have any kind of liberty at all to do anything. But as he said here, she has the liberty to do these things. You know, be wise, men. You know, let her have some liberty. You know, and help her out that way. Okay, one more here yet, and then we'll stop. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Verse 17 there. She exercises to keep herself physically and mentally strong and healthy. Now, some of you say, how ridiculous is that? You know, I don't have time to get all my stuff done during the day. And at night, how would I ever have time to exercise or anything like that? Well, if you're like me, I always say, somebody says to me, you know, if a doctor says to me, you need some exercise, you know, you need to exercise a little bit more. I told him, I said, why don't you come and run around with me during the day sometime and see what for exercise that I do. You know, and you ladies are the same way. You know, you get to ramming around the house and out in the yard, in the garden, and all this and that stuff. You're getting exercise, but this is just something that there's nothing the matter with it. A little exercise doesn't hurt now and again, but you do get a lot. You know, you do get a lot. You have to take care of your body also. You know, and it's just one of them things that you need to do. 1 Peter 1:13 says. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's a call for a holy living. But what I'm bringing up there is, wherefore, gird up your loins. You know, you're girding up your loins with your mind. You got to make your mind up. You know how you're going to handle things, how you're going to take care of the things during the day. And if you're going to exercise, you're going to have to, you know, use your mind. You set your mind. Okay, I'm going to do this. You know, it's just something that I'm going to do. And go from there. Well, I didn't... Go ahead.
This is in reference to what you read in 1 Peter. This verse in particular, there's a couple things in here. But this verse in particular, I think is more... girdeth up her loins with strength. She's determined. She's going to do whatever she is she's going to do. She strengthened her arms. She has the strength and the willpower to do whatever has to be done. I don't think it has to necessarily to do with physical exercise. I think it's more a mental thing. That's my thought on that. It's strengthening yourself emotionally to go forward and do what you got to do.
Well, I think where they're getting the exercise thing is that she strengtheneth her arms. And you're right, you know, I'm not saying that you have to, and that's why I read that other verse to you, you know, about you, the mind, you know. The mind has to be strengthened too, and you know, to exercise that. So, you know, it's all combined here into one thing. Yes, I agree with you 100%. So, yeah. Anything else? Okay, we'll have to quit right there. We'll pick it up next week there. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the time. I thank you for your word here and some of the things here that we can find about the wife now as we're going over it. And we praise you, Father, for your word and the things you put in there. We ask now that you would just give us a good day today and help us to remember, Lord, these as Memorial Day is coming here tomorrow. Help us to remember these soldiers that gives us this freedom that we have here in this country. And so many people just overlook that, but it's them that given up their lives for us. And Lord, we just praise you now for these soldiers that are out here and for this country, what is left of it, dear Father, that we still have the freedoms that we do. But we thank and praise you for it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.